Turn your books over to your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've been thinking a little bit about some of the stuff, and we've been hearing a lot about the times and the persecution that is bound to come and all that stuff. And so I thought that as I was reading through 2 Timothy last night, I thought that this was a fitting passage for our times. Something that doesn't just happen all of a sudden. It's something that happens over time, and when something that when trials and things like that come, they come suddenly, and if we're not prepared for them beforehand, it's a lot harder to deal with them. I know that most of us here will understand. You know, cattle references. Kirk maybe is still learning a little bit of that, but we'll teach him. And so when we're chasing cattle, specifically, like a bull, we gathered bulls just not that long ago, and when there's bulls that don't want to go certain places, they'll just out of the blue randomly go off where they're supposed to be. You got them going down the road perfectly, but if you're not anticipating the chance that bull is going to take to go off of that road and understand what you have to do to turn him back, then you're going to lose the bull. You're not going to be able to keep the bull down the path that he's going. The same thing happens with persecution of the saints. If it's not something that we are prepared for prior to it happening, it's probably going to take us down. And so I think it's something that does deserve attention. I don't think it deserves focus, but it deserves attention. I think that that we'll look through that today, though. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. It says, "But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day, Lord, that we can be together. The Church of Glendive, Lord, gathered in this place, Lord, and the Church abroad gathered where they are, Lord. We're all gathered together spiritually, Lord. We know that you are the mighty warrior and the king that is leading us in this battle. Lord, and I thank you for the fellow soldiers that I have here in the church in Glendive, and the fellow soldiers that we have across the world. Lord, I just pray that this morning we are glorifying to you, encouraging to one another, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we can get wisdom out of this passage this morning. I pray that you help me to speak the words that you would want to be spoken, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for your love for us. I thank you for Jesus, and we praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is Paul writing to Timothy, and he writes specifically to him in this passage about how Timothy has been with him and has followed in his examples of different things. And it's interesting to me that Paul mentions those three spots. And so I would like to go back. Let's go back to Acts chapter 13. And we're going to go to a couple of these spots. Acts chapter 13 is where we'll start. Now, when Paul's writing this, I believe that he knows that he's extremely close to the end of his life. He's just about to be put to death. He's writing this last letter to Timothy. We can see from the end of the book of Timothy, basically he says his goodbyes to Timothy. When he writes this, He's preparing Timothy for a life that Timothy is going to live, and a life that Paul's not going to be a part of anymore. And he did the same in some other passages. We know in the book of Philippians, he writes to them as well. And he talks about how they should work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, because he wasn't going to be around anymore. And so when he's writing these things to Timothy, he's preparing him, a shot of preparing him for the things that he is going to endure, and the things that he is going to have to encourage other people to endure, and people and help them get through these things. And so when Paul writes this, he mentions these three places, and we can go back into Acts chapter 13. We'll start in verse 10. Let's start in verse 48, I'm sorry. Verse 48 of Acts chapter 13. And it says, "And the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to an eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews aroused the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city, and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them, and went on to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Now this was a Pisidian Antioch where this happened, but they continued on, and they went into Iconium. And in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "And it came about that in Iconium they entered the synagogue of the Jews together, and spoke in such a manner that the great multitude believed, both the Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and some sided with the Jews and some sided with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, they became aware and fled to the cities of Lycaonian, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region." Okay, so there's two spots. One was Pisidian Antioch. They were driven out of the city and shook their dust off their feet. They went to Iconium and they were going to get stoned. So they fled and they went to the place, they went to Lystra. And in verse 8 it says, "And at Lystra there was a certain man, there was sitting a certain man without strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze upon him, and had seen that he had been faithful to be made well, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on your feet.' And he leaped, and he began to walk." And then scoot down to verse 19. It says, "But the Jews that came to Antioch, came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out to the city, supposing him to be dead. While the disciples stood over him, he arose and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe." Okay. Three spots here: Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He was persecuted in all three of them. Now, this was something that Paul endured, and this is what he's writing to Timothy about. He said, "This is something that I was persecuted in all these places. And you were with me, you followed me through my persecution, and all that I endured in these places, and the persecution that I endured, the Lord delivered me from all of them." Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then he says this, and he says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." He doesn't say might be persecuted. He doesn't say, you know, it's possible that you'll be persecuted if you follow my name. He says you will be persecuted if you try to live godly. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, I understand that we live in America. I've never been beat for, never been beaten for preaching the gospel. I'd like to see him try. But I've never been physically persecuted in this world. I've never been physically persecuted for preaching the gospel. But I can tell you right now that I have lost friends. I've lost family. I've lost people that care about me or that I cared about because of my stance on the gospel. And I think that everyone in here probably can say the same thing. And maybe it's different stuff. Maybe it's greater levels. Maybe it's lesser levels. Whatever it is, that we've probably all understood a little bit of persecution for our stand for the gospel. Turn back to John chapter 15, and Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. John chapter 15, verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you. The world would love its own, but because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Go over to chapter 16, verse 1 of John. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. Jesus spoke to them specifically, and he says, you will be persecuted. You will be outcast in the synagogue because of my name. You will suffer hardships. You will be persecuted. And then he goes on in chapter 16, and he says, but it's to your advantage that I go away, because I'm sending you the Holy Spirit that's going to help you through this stuff. We will be persecuted as Christians. Excuse me. But it's not whether or not we're persecuted or not, it's our reaction to being persecuted. It's our response to the persecution. It's what we endure, what we can come out of it as. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we'll start in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, people often talk about how bad the times are getting and how evil people are getting. We were talking yesterday that in Bismarck, North Dakota, I don't remember who we were talking about. Somebody pulled their kids out of the school there because they have litter boxes in the school for people who identify as furries, they call them, or as cats. So they can use litter boxes. In the school in Bismarck, North Dakota. That's pretty messed up. Talking to the people in Williston yesterday, there's people in Williston that they said there's a couple of people in the school that are that way that they're talking about. And I don't know if they have the litter boxes there for them or not, but it sounded like maybe they did. And that to me is like, you think, how far have we fallen to have people like that? But then you go back and you have to read about what they were going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? We talk about how bad the sin has gotten in America and how far that we've come and stuff. There's nothing new under the sun. There has been evil and sin and disgusting people since the beginning of time. You know what else isn't new? Persecution. You know what's not going to come for the first time when America falls? Persecution. That's not going to be the first time that people have been persecuted. In fact, people have been persecuted, and people are getting persecuted right now, just not in America. And in fact, there probably is people in America getting persecuted. We just don't know about them. But there is persecution through all of history for the gospel. And so when we're looking forward to the what seems like an inevitable destruction of the United States, which is probably going to happen, which we know is going to happen one way or another, whether it happens before Christ returns or whether Christ comes back and burns it up with the rest of the world. But there's a pretty good chance that in people's lifetimes, maybe not all of us, maybe not even us, maybe our kids, maybe our grandkids, maybe I don't know what it's going to be. There's pretty good chance that somebody is going to endure physical persecution here. And it might be us. But it's not going to be something new. And God will help us get through. God will carry us through. Mike Ferguson's message, I think I might have mentioned it last week. I think it was Mike talked about it. Talked about the book of Romans was written to prepare the people to die for Christ. And his message at family camp. And that's what it was about. Those people were being prepared to 100% be physically tortured and persecuted for the sake of the gospel. And they did it with joy. So when we read in James here, this isn't necessarily just talking about your lady down the street being mean to you, or your neighbor not mowing their grass right, or trying to push their fence over across your deal because you're a Christian, or looking the other way, or whatever else it is. Your friend's not spending time with you, whatever it is. It's not specifically talking about that. Now, it can be talking about that, but when it's writing to these guys here, I'm going to guarantee you it was talking about physical persecution. And it says to consider it joy. Turn back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John here have been preaching the gospel after the day of Pentecost. They went around, they healed a man that had been lame from his youth, and he was in his 40s about that time, I think, and they healed him, and people were believing, and the Jews didn't like it. So in verse 18, it says, and they had put him on trial, and they talked to him and asked him all the questions, and Peter spoke some. And in verse 18, it says, "And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.' And when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which they might punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man that was more than 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed, and when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God." When they heard that they were arrested, When they heard that they were commanded not to speak anymore, and they continued to speak, they rejoiced, and they lifted their voices to God. Turn over to chapter 5. Same guys, same incidents. They did some more stuff. Peter and John kept on speaking. And starting in verse 40 of Acts chapter 5, Gamaliel was a high up in the one of the elders. That they had respected him a lot, and he pulled him aside. They were gonna murder him right there, but they pulled him aside and said, "Hey, let's take a second back. Let's threaten him instead." And in verse 40 it says, "And they took his advice, and after calling the apostles, they flogged them," which is tortured and beat, "and they ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they," Peter and John, "went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." What did they do? What was their response to the persecution? They didn't listen to him. They kept on going forward. You see, we can't sit there and focus on the persecution. We have to focus on going forward with the gospel and continuing to teach the gospel and do our jobs, because even in persecution or in peace, the job still has to get done. It doesn't stop just because of persecution. Let's go back to Acts chapter 13, and there was one verse on each one of those spots in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra that I left out. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. We read 48 through 51 about how they were kicked out of the city, and they were they shook the dust off their feet. And in verse 52, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 14, we read that as well, 1 through 6. They stoned them. They were going to stone them, and they were going to mistreat them. And they became aware, and they went along whatever that one town is, Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding region. In verse 7 it says, "And there they continued to preach the gospel." And if you skip down to verse 21, this was after verse 19 and 20 that we read about how they won the multitude over, and they took them out, and they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. In verse 19 it says, and in verse 20 he got back up, entered the city. In verse 21 it says, "And after they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to three towns, Lystra, and Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Through many tribulations. See, they were stoned, and they were beaten, and they were kicked out of the cities, and they were going to get stoned at the one place, and they, after all of that, they continued to preach the gospel, and then they went back to those towns again to preach the gospel, because there was people there that needed the gospel preached to them. You see, they kept moving forward down the path. They didn't stop, they didn't go sideways, they didn't go backwards, they went forward. When you're in battle, now I've never done, medieval fighting, but I've watched some movies that have had a little of it in. When you're in victory form, in V formation, heading into the battle, and you're hitting the people, and they come colliding, and they're running from both directions, they hit, you don't turn around and run back. You go through it. The battle is through it. When you're playing football, Dad always just drove him nuts when a guy would receive a kickoff, and he would run forward, and then he would run backwards 10 yards to try to get around people. Drove him nuts. He would go backwards 10 yards to make 2 yards when he could have got 5 yards if he went forward. You see, retreating for no purpose. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to retreat, to regain your people and get going again. But the point is we stay. The point was to retreat was to still go forward. It wasn't to stop. It wasn't to run back, because if you run back, it's never going to stop. You got to keep going forward. You got to keep going forward. First one, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it is supposed to be. I've got 1 Corinthians wrote down. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, let's start in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of dying Jesus, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present with us and will present us with you. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read it again, verse 10. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and in Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. Out of all of them, the Lord delivered him. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. I'll leave you with this. Colossians chapter 3. Persecution is bound to happen. We are bound to have it. We must be prepared for it. We must understand that no matter what we go through, whether it be physical, financial, jobs, friends, family, school, sports, whatever it is, we have to continue with the gospel. We have to continue with our job. You see, our job is not to focus on the persecution or the persecutors or the things that we've lost, but is to focus on preaching the gospel of Christ. Those men never stopped. They continued on, and they continued on because they had a mindset. And it's a mindset that we have to have. We have to dwell on the things that are to make the kingdom better. We are to dwell on the things that are above. Verse 1, chapter 3 of Colossians. If then you have become raised up, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. If we focus on everything that's done to us, instead of everything that's going to be done for us, and it's already been done for us, we're going to have those trials. We're going to fall away when we hit those trials. We have to have a focus. We have to have a mindset. We have to have a plan of moving forward and not going back. We have to continue on. We cannot get drugged down. We cannot stumble. We have to get back up, and we have to keep moving. And to do that, we have to set our mind on things above. To do that, we have to have our mindset on Christ and what he has done for us, and that he is our leader, and that we will win the war. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask you this day, Lord, that we have our mindset on the things the things above, Lord, that eternal life that we have with you, Lord, and we need to understand, Lord, that this life is very temporary, very very short in the grand scheme of things. Lord, and that the things of this world are passing away, Lord, but with you we will live forever, and we can be with you in heaven, that we can be in that glorious rest, Lord. Lord, we pray that we continue to fight the good fight, Lord, and that when we are done, that we're able to have lived the life that we received that crown of righteousness, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you encourage each one of the saints today to continue moving forward, to continue battling, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your love. I thank you for Jesus. I pray these things in his name. Amen.